Hey, Hardcore Con listeners, I wanted to introduce you to a friend of mine, Claire Sanema. Claire Sanema is this incredible woman I met. We were both talking about our respective books. Her book is called Killer Story, based on her years of experience producing big news shows like 48 Hours and 60 Minutes for CBS. She's got a lot of inside crazy stories, and I thoroughly enjoy her company. She hosts a podcast called Final Days on Earth, and I wanted you all to hear this episode. Long story short, this woman murders her wealthy husband for insurance money. And when police show up on scene, you won't believe what she tells them happened. She was pulling a hardcore con. This story has a bunch of crazy twists and turns, and it's a fascinating study in human psychology. And I guess how being in a deeply unhappy marriage can lead to murder. If you enjoy this episode, just search Final Days on Earth wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
From the outside, Greg Williams' life looks perfect. He's a successful businessman, happily married to a gorgeous woman. They have an adorable daughter, and they're planning their dream house together in Texas. But under the surface, there's trouble brewing.
He hadn't been feeling good lately, and he couldn't figure out why.
Who would want Greg Williams dead?
She sized him up when she met him. She knew what he wanted. She just called him straight up.
From Dallas, Texas, this is Final Days on Earth, Season 3, The Life and Death of Greg Williams. Episode 1, Who is Greg Williams? I'm your host, Claire Sanema. Thanks for listening. People often ask me, how did I get started in true crime? Well, this is the case that started it all. My true crime origin story. And it happened right here in Keller, Texas. Back in 2013, I was working in local media when I came across a mysterious murder case with more questions than answers. What I uncovered is a diabolical story of greed and deception that has stuck with me for 11 years. And now, I'm diving deeper than ever before to understand the tangled web of lies and relationships at the heart of it all. Because while this season is about the life and death of Greg Williams, it's also about so much more.
She is a player. She's conniving. She's a liar. For some reason, she's got this hold over men, and they believe her. I wouldn't put anything past her.
Everyone who knew Greg Williams said he was a hardworking guy. A successful entrepreneur with a thriving computer company, Greg knew the value of putting his heart and soul into something. This is Greg's sister, Michelle.
He was 40 years old. He was going to retire at 45, and he had freaking accomplished and done what he wanted to in life.
Like a lot of people who work really hard, Greg also played hard, and the house parties he would throw for friends and family were legendary. There was always plenty of food and drink to last the whole night, and even though the parties were at his own house, Greg didn't usually stick around for long.
He'd go out there and socialize for about an hour, and then he'd disappear into his office and start working on stuff.
Greg loved computers. He started a networking company in the Dallas area called DFW IT Pro, and it took off. This is one of his former employees, Steve McSwain.
He definitely knew computers. You know, that's how he built his business. And, he was not only just in computers, but he was pretty much smart at anything. He had a photographic memory, so anything that he read, basically it was there in his brain.
Like many people in technology, Greg was introverted, a character trait that his sister said was often misunderstood.
You know, he was kind of quiet. He really only had something to say when he felt it was important, you know, to say, which some people may think he came off like being an asshole. Heard that more than one time.
Michelle didn't see Greg that way at all.
When anyone needed anything, my brother was there for them. He's 3 years older and very, very, very protective my entire childhood and beyond.
Michelle remembers one time in particular when Greg's instinct to protect his little sister kicked in. Back then, they were living in Florida.
So I walk out my back door, and just when I get to about the neighbor's house, I go to step down. And right before I stepped, I looked down, and I almost put my foot on an alligator head.
Oh, my gosh.
There was an alligator right there laid out. So I turned around, and I hauled ass, and I ran back in the house. Okay, but then I told my brother about it. And Greg, being the way he was, he went out there the next day. He took a raw chicken out of the freezer and tied it to a piece of string. And he hung it over the pond that the alligator came out of. And he waited at the pond the entire night for the alligator to come out and grab the chicken. He sat up all night with a sledgehammer.
The alligator got the best of Greg that night, stealing the chicken when he must have nodded off for a minute. When he woke up, the bait was gone. Michelle still appreciated the effort.
Most people don't go beyond like that, but there was an alligator going to hurt his baby sister, so that's what he did.
Greg's instinct to protect his sister went beyond wildlife.
When I started liking boys, I didn't think any of them liked me at all because they wouldn't come talk to me. And then I found out it was because him and my little brother was going behind him and telling him, don't you even think about talking to her again.
Well, at least you got an explanation, right?
Yeah, at least I didn't go through life with a complex.
One of Greg's biggest passions in life was martial arts. He was a third-degree black belt.
He liked to go to the gym and work out, and that he definitely kept his body in good shape. And he one time bragged that he, you know, hit somebody in the face and almost killed them, you know, broke their nose. And he had a pretty powerful punch, and he was pretty proud of it. And one of the things he liked to do just for fun, you'd be standing there talking to him, and he'd just haul off and hit you in the arm, you know, leave a bruise. And just kind of is a fun thing for him to do. He wasn't being mean, but
just kind of playing around like a macho guy thing.
Right, yeah.
Greg traveled the world competing in martial arts tournaments well into adulthood. It was on one of those trips when Greg made a fast friend, mostly out of necessity, while in Prague for a competition.
Everyone around him spoke Czech. And they just met up because they were the only ones that were there during all the fighting that spoke English.
His name was Bryn Fletcher, and he was British. Bryn and Greg kept in touch for years after the tournament, and they learned that they had more in common than just martial arts. Bryn was a general contractor, and he started coming to Texas to help Greg out with some of his bigger networking jobs.
So, you know, Bryn would run the cables, work out the quirks.
On one of these trips, Bryn met Greg's younger sister, Michelle. The connection was almost instantaneous.
We just hit it off. I can't really put it into words. He had a kindness about him. Just real charming and witty and down to earth. And then you go into the way he looked. I mean, I could tell, you know, that he was a good guy.
It didn't hurt, of course, that this good-looking, hard-working British man was already best friends with her brother. Before long, Michelle and Bryn got married, and he relocated to Texas permanently. With his new friend-turned-brother-in-law nearby helping his business thrive, Greg's work life was on an upswing. But his personal life had suffered more than a few hits.
I'm so hungry.
If you're like me, then what's for dinner can be a complicated question to answer. I thank my lucky stars I found Omaha Steaks. Dinner's handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And the quality of these steaks is just out of this world, better than anything I've ever bought in a supermarket. They've got ribeyes for special occasions, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, and gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. They even have delicious sides, dessert, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, not minutes. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So you've heard me talk about BetterHelp for a long time, but I don't know if we've actually ever talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out for yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. The reviews are updated every day with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. More than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally. The consistent feedback from real users makes it easy to see why so many people continue to choose BetterHelp. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started, answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Okay, so I've never been a huge weed person, mostly because I think dispensaries are a little overwhelming and pretentious. That's just me. You do you. But there's this company called Mood, Mood.com, that's changing the way people can buy cannabis. You know how most dispensaries make you choose between strains with ridiculous names and you have no idea which one's for you? Well, that's what Mood.com figured out. And by the way, you can get 20% off your first order with promo code Walton. If you go to Mood.com and click Shop by Mood, it'll tell you which strain does what. Want to be more social at a party? There's a flower for that. Need to focus and get work done? There's a flower for that. Want to melt into your couch and watch movies? Yep, there's a flower for that too. And here's the part few people realize. It's now 100% federally legal to have really great bud shipped right to your door. It's third-party lab tested and arrives in a discreet box. Best of all, everything's backed by Mood's 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And like I said, you can get 20% off with code Walton. So head to Mood.com and get 20% off your first order now.
By the time his computer company had taken off, Greg was on his third marriage. This is Greg's first wife, Kathy.
He was a very bright, intelligent, loving person. Yes, he had a temper, we all do. And it took a lot to make him angry, but if you deceived him or if you lied to him, that was it. You were out of his life.
Kathy and Greg had a daughter together named Taylor.
My dad was my hero for a very, very long time. When he was married to my mom and married to his second wife, Lisa, he was a good, loving father. He made time for his family because that's what was most important to him. And some of my best memories I have with my dad aren't going out and doing all these fun, expensive things. It's us sitting and watching Lord of the Rings all day long just because I wanted to spend a day with my dad and watch movies. That was the kind of dad he was. Even with his busy schedule, with his own business, he still made time.
When Taylor was going into middle school, Greg married for the third time. His new wife's name was Michelle, just like his sisters.
They seemed to really love each other, get along. Whatever he needed, she took care of. The happy marriage, the perfect marriage that you would think everybody would want, right?
And as a bonus, Taylor also became a big sister. Michelle and Greg had welcomed a baby girl the previous year. Michelle seemed to be the ideal stepmom.
I adored her, and I tried to be just like her and do things just like her.
When Greg and Michelle were dating, she worked as a dental assistant. But after marrying Greg, she transitioned to working for the family computer company, despite having no business background.
So she was kind of the general all-purpose helper. That her main job was to take care of the books, invoicing, so kind of doing all the office work.
Here again is Greg's sister.
She immediately quit working, and she became his office manager. And that's all she was supposed to be doing was keeping up with the books and taking care of their daughter.
But Michelle had bigger business aspirations. While maintaining her position as office manager, she asked Greg to buy a side business for her, a frozen yogurt shop. And to everyone's surprise, he did. Blueberry's frozen yogurt in Keller, Texas, was put exclusively in Michelle's name.
He did everything for her. I mean, whatever she wanted, she got it.
Michelle was making good impressions at work and at home. Here again is Greg's daughter, Taylor.
She was just very interested in being present. If I asked her to, like, spend time with me and just do simple things. She was there. She cared about my schooling and about whether or not I was getting the help I needed. Just, you know, kind of just being a mom in that instance. I guess it was just, like, being a normal mom. Like, for me, it's, you know, just attending to my every need, including my emotional ones.
Yeah, I mean, she was making dinner for you. She was helping you get ready for school. She was doing all the things she was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But the happy, blended family Taylor had grown to love wouldn't last. Seemingly out of the blue, her stepmom started accusing her of all kinds of awful things. It caught the preteen by surprise.
The first thing I ever remember was me coming in the door, and Michelle was like, I need to ask you something. She pulled out a bag of weed that looked like it was wet. And she told me, well, I found this in your pants in the washer. And when I told her, you know, I don't know where it came from. Like, I don't know why that was there, and I don't even know what it is. She basically said that she didn't believe me and to wait until my dad got home and I would have to discuss it with him.
And at this point, had you ever been in any kind of trouble before?
I wasn't the kind of kid that just went out and looked for trouble. Sure, I could be impulsive. Sure, I could not listen at times, but that's every kid in this world. I literally went to school, came home, had a snack and did my homework, and then I had free time until it was time for dinner and bed. And that was the entirety of my life.
You weren't the kid talking back and getting sent to the principal's office and shoplifting. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the things that you would do, like, if you were the kind of kid that was going to bring home drugs, you know?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, like, in my early school years, I definitely struggled with school itself, but they realized a multitude of things. One was I'm blind and I couldn't see the board.
Oh, wow.
The second one was that I had severe dyslexia, and I got diagnosed with ADHD at the same time when my dad was with his second wife. So, really, the only trouble I got in was I tried to hide my bad grades because I didn't want the disappointment.
Yeah. No kid gets through childhood without some experimenting in terms of, you know, testing boundaries. And, you know, that's a normal part of growing up. Like, you have to figure out what the rules are and what the limits are. And so tell me, after the situation with the marijuana, how did it escalate from there?
She said she found drugs at the bottom of my trash can once. And then a couple weeks go by and she said, oh, well, I found more drugs in the back of your TV remote. And I'm sorry, but I was not smart enough to think like that when I was that age.
Yeah, that's pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, I was not. I was a 12-year-old preteen worried about passing math. I was not worried about hiding drugs in the back of a remote.
Here again is Taylor's mom, Kathy.
The only person that found those drugs was Michelle. Greg never found anything on Taylor. We took Taylor to a hospital and had her drug tested. It was always negative. If I gave her a home test, it was always negative. But if Michelle gave her the test, it was positive.
When Taylor denied that the drugs were hers, she was severely punished. She said her dad spanked her, and it was frightening.
Well, my dad was angry. Rightfully so, if you would have thought, you know, that your kid brought that into your house. But I also feel like he wasn't willing to listen to anything I had to say because I told the truth and I said that I didn't know where it came from. And I got punished because I said I don't know. And I'm not going to lie, like, I didn't help my situation any because I got scared and I chose to continue to, like, you know, make up stories about where the drugs might have came from just because my original answer that I don't know wasn't being accepted.
You know, that's actually completely understandable. And that's what, like, whenever people give false confessions to the police,
mm-hmm.
It's like exactly the same logic that you're using right now, that you were using as a child. Whenever you told the truth, you weren't believed, you were punished. And so then you were like, I need to tell them something different so I don't get the same result. You know, it actually makes sense if you look at it from those, you know, that perspective, and the cause and effect. And so the idea that you made up stories about where the drugs came from, that's like, psychologically, that makes sense why you would do that as a child. You're trying to please these adults that, you know, that are very upset with you telling them the truth.
Like, I know that I won't be punished if I can just stave off the punishment by making up this story.
I'm so sorry. As a child, you know, you're so trusting and you expect adults to take care of you and protect you. And when they do the opposite, it's just so harmful.
Yeah, and I will definitely say that, like, not everybody was in Michelle's corner as far as the drugs went. She definitely had my dad wrapped around her finger and believing everything she said. But my Uncle Bryn, I know, is one of the ones that told him, like, hey, you're being kind of stupid. Like, this doesn't add up.
Here again is Taylor's aunt.
We could not understand for the life of us how Taylor, 13-year-old girl, who just rides the bus back and forth to school, can get hold to these strong, potent drugs.
The final straw was when Michelle called the police on Taylor, alleging that she'd poisoned her stepmom's coffee with a heavy dose of painkillers. But when the authorities investigated the incident, for once, it wasn't Taylor who got into trouble. This is how Kathy remembers it.
Police pulled me aside. He says, get your daughter out of here. Do not let her come back into this house. And they told Greg and Michelle that if it happened again, that they would take their other daughter away from them because something funny was going on there. And Taylor never did live with them again after that.
Taylor moved back in with her mom, and her life seemingly got back on track.
The first glaringly obvious things that happened was that my grades improved. My bag was still searched because there was still that suspicion, but no drugs were ever found in my bag, on my person, or in my room. And I never popped positive on another drug test.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And it wasn't too long. I think it was a couple months after I moved in with my mom is when she did what she did.
On the next episode of Final Days on Earth, the life and death of Greg Williams.
I have no doubt I would be in one of two places if I were in that house. And that would be either jail or I would be dead.
911, where is the emergency?
Oh my God, so I want to know where you shot. Somebody was in the house. I need an ambulance.
She's not here to help anybody in this world. She's just here to cause chaos.
Final Days on Earth is produced in Dallas, Texas for Rebel Studios. Each episode is reported and written by me, Claire Sanima, and Susan Passoni. Original theme music composed and performed by Riley Simmons. Additional music licensed from premiumbeat.com is Bending Truth and A Thin Line. Special thanks to Kathy Williams, Taylor Williams, Michelle Fletcher, and Stephen McSwain for talking to me in this episode. If you have any information about the cases I cover, please get in touch through my website, finaldaysonearth.com. If you want to support this show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you are listening. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, just search Final Days on Earth wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. I can't wait to run into Claire Sanima again at some other event that authors attend. We have a great time together.